This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Tim Flaherty, candidate for a councilor-at-large seat at the City of Beverly. And, Tim, you've been on the council before, but you're trying to come back. Set the scene for us on this race, and then we'll talk more about your candidacy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, I know Jason Silva was thinking about not running, and he decided not to run, have an open seat. So I decided to jump back in, and it was a good opportunity with my children all grown up and into college and out. It was a great opportunity to get back into the city that I love.
So you don't have to pay attention to the kids anymore, is that it?
You always have to, right? But what we've done, and they've been great kids in the past, you know, doing so well, going to Beverly High School and all the schools of Beverly. But now that they're on their own a little bit in college, there's a little bit more time at home to give a commitment that I can to the city council again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, about the council, let's talk about why you want to get back on the council. Again, you left several years ago, but what are some reasons that you want to get back?
Well, beyond that the timing is right, you know, I've missed being on there and being able to contribute back to the community that I grew up in and love. The idea of trying to fix some of the issues that I see on a day-to-day basis, whether it be, you know, veterans issues, school-related issues, quality of life issues, senior housing. Those are kind of, you know, areas that I want to kind of focus on to make Beverly the kind of the community that I grew up into, but also, talking about my four children, that they can come back and live and have a family.
Yeah. Let's go to the schools because, you know, when I think of the Flaherty name, I think of athletics and Beverly schools and all of that because, you know, you played at Beverly High School,
right.
Went on.
Yeah.
You know, your kids have played participated in athletics at Beverly as well. And, of course, in the city, you've got the great new high school there and the middle school is under construction. So schools structurally, you know, you seem to be in a decent spot, at least from middle school on.
You do. Structurally, you know, when I was on the council, we were able to build brand new elementary schools and being able to build a brand new high school was something that, you know, again, structurally, academically, you know, we need to kind of do a better job with as that we always can improve on. But the schools themselves are on solid ground, and I want to be able to contribute back to that. Obviously, with the new middle school going on, there's a lot of support behind the schools, and with a quality school system, whether you have kids in school or whether you don't, if you're looking to retire and move out of the city or go to a condo, selling your house, you want to have those property values that people, young families, want to move into. And that's the idea of having a quality school system, no matter whether you have children there or not.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, you know, give the credit to the state is that they have invested in new schools in many communities. It's not if you're not doing it, you're falling behind in those areas, not just for students, but as you mentioned, in these other areas as well.
Oh, absolutely. If you look around in other communities, and you know, some do a good job, some need to work on some things. But at Beverly, I think overall we do a pretty good job with our school system. But the one thing I know we didn't focus on well was our buildings. One of the reasons why we're building new buildings for elementary. Had to build a new high school, build a new middle. Of course, the middle school itself was very old, to say the least. So it does need some help. But when I was on the council, actually, the last few years, I worked with the mayor and the city council, and I instituted the DPW, the DPS they call it now, to take over the school's buildings and grounds. Before, the buildings and grounds almost separate, organized as a separate DPW,
yeah.
So a separate city. And so I just thought it would be a good idea to operate as one and kind of be more efficient, be more productive, and save some money in the long run. Now it's been operating for the past, you know, almost 10 years now, and people think it's probably the best thing we could have done because now you have one director overseeing it, and you know, now you're running things more efficiently, and the schools can concentrate on academics. They can concentrate on the things that are important to the school system, music, athletics, the overall you know, school system, instead of worrying about the maintenance of the facilities.
You're right. If you're in schools and school administration, you know that that building piece is really a completely different than what your regular charge would be.
Absolutely, and you need to take care of those facilities for, you know, preventative maintenance that has not been done in years past. It was probably one of the first things the schools cut when budgets got tight. We'll cut maintenance. We'll cut. So what happened is buildings started falling apart. Our elementary schools, our high school. So the idea of making that a priority. So, you know, 50, 70 years from now, they're still being maintained, yeah. And they're still productive for the students of Beverly.
Let's talk about senior citizens. So what does Tim Flaherty do for senior citizens? Do you have a plan? Or is obviously, I would imagine, it's also just part of engagement with the senior citizens and the different functions that the city has in those areas?
Absolutely. I mean, one concern that I have, I look at my mother who's, my father's passed on, unfortunately, but my mother who's 89, it's fortunate to live with my sister in an in-law apartment. But a lot of people who are going into their later years, I mean, right now you see the baby boomers, they're moving on and they're looking for places to downsize. And Beverly has done a great job in having adequate housing and affordable housing for seniors looking to stay here in Beverly. People have grown up here their whole life. Last thing they want to do is move on to other facilities in other communities. So I think right down the road, Hamilton Wedham, 55 and over zoning. Trying to have houses or apartments or condos for that population that don't have children going into them. And we've struggled with that. And I think we can kind of do a better job trying to help not only the seniors, but the young baby boomers, 55 and older, trying to stay here in Beverly.
You know, that's a good point, and I hadn't really thought about it that way, but one of the things, as I was told early on, so you build all these houses, but you're also then building families with students, with kids that go to school and then fill up the classrooms, then you got to add more classrooms and so on. But a senior community, they're paying taxes, and they're not sending anybody to school.
Absolutely. So the idea of, I have four children, so I've kind of contributed to the problem with the school system, but I also come from a family of nine, and you don't see that nowadays. Now you see one, two, maybe three children, and you don't see the big families as you used to. But what you still have those baby boomers who are part of those families that are here, and you need to be able to take care of them because they are paying taxes. They do contribute to the community, and people who are 75, 80 years old are what was 60, 20 years ago, say. It's a big difference. The senior population are much more active. I see that as a director of the YMCA. Yeah. I see the senior population, people who are 75 years old, in great shape, taking care of themselves, and are very active in the community.
I remember when I was a young guy going to the Y, if you came in the morning, you'd see all these old guys in there, Now I'm one of those old guys, I guess, right?
Well, it's a good thing that the Y does a great job. Catering to all types of people who can't afford it, people who can't afford it, young, old, and it's a good group. You go to the Y, and it's a great community feel.
Well, we work this in you're the executive director of the Gloucester YMCA, the KPAN YMCA up there. So maybe just a quick note on that, on your daytime job, so to speak.
Right. Well, it keeps me quite busy, but it's very exciting. I've been up there for 4 years. We're doing a lot of great things in the community. We're leading and we're being relevant and moving in the right direction, because right now we've raised about a little over $11 million towards about a $20 million goal for a new facility up in the Gloucester Crossing area near Market Basket. Yeah. And that's going to be what the Y does for here in the community of Beverly, the impact that you can have with a new facility and the kind of programs you can do, it's going to be a great community center for all of KPN.
Well, I want to talk about quality of life. So this is a term that you hear a lot about. And, as an outsider passing through Beverly, what strikes me about quality of life in Beverly the last two summers, a lot of road construction, it seems like, in Beverly. But, I mean, that's not just what quality of life is all about. How do you define that, and what's your take on the quality of life?
Well, it's a good point. I mean, quality of life is about the traditions that we have in Beverly. Right now, this is the week of homecoming. All the great things we're doing with the Lobster Festival, the fireworks. There's a lot of great things in Beverly that separate Beverly. We just had... Last week we had the bicycle going around town here, and that makes Beverly a little different than other communities. Being from Beverly, sometimes you forget all the great things that are here. You almost take them for granted.
Yeah.
And the idea of when you talk to tourists or you talk to people from other communities, they say, geez, Beverly is a great community. They have a lot of great traditions, a lot of great community feel. That's the quality of life that I talk about. And the idea of you don't want to lose those traditions. And people forget about the great things that we do here. And I think that's important. Aside from that, it's a balancing act. The Cummings Center, for example, is a great contributor to with jobs, you know, taxes. And that's been one of the reasons why we've been able to kind of, you know, build some of these elementary schools and high schools and now the middle school. We're able to do those things because of the taxes that are bringing in from the coming center. But on the flip side, it's a balance. You know, that does bring traffic, and you have to be concerned with that. So when you're developing a property on Rantoul Street or the Cumming Center, you can't just think of that little area. You have to think of the whole total picture of the quality of life that it will impact.
Just around Beverly today, even you mentioned the Cumming Center. That speaks for itself. You come across, headed east, and you go across Cabot Street, and downtown Cabot's kind of been revitalized the last few years with the Cabot Theater opening back up and so on. And then just a few more blocks, what a great coastline as well in Beverly.
Beverly is a hidden treasure. It's a great community. You know, I have my in-laws are from Buffalo, and they love coming up to the Beverly area. And, you know, Long 127, yeah. You go by there, the Independence Park, down to Lynch Park. Again, we take that for granted, but it's a great seaside community. And we want to be able to maintain that and prosper for the next 50 years, for my children's children. You know, it's you have a responsibility when you are an elected official or you're a community organizer to make Beverly better than what you had when you grew up.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything? We talked about the schools, but do you want to say anything more about the schools and maybe the council's role looking forward to the schools?
Well, that's a good point. I know one of the reasons when I announced it was about the same time they were talking about kindergarten tuition, which is about $4,000 a year for these parents to pay. And some communities don't pay anything. Some pay a half that cost. We need to take a look at those things. But we need to have a constant communication with the school system going on over the whole year, not just at budget time when they're coming to say, hey, because they're going to advocate for the schools. We need to look at the total whole picture of advocating for the schools, but being realistic and being efficient. Again, trying to have the DPW under the city wing, so don't have to worry about that. We did a report when I was on the council of looking at technology, looking at human resources, those type of things that we should be able to collaborate on to not to have them worry about that. And the school system is a great resource that we need to kind of to look at and maybe do things a little differently. But and I know the school committee, they can get sensitive to the fact of, hey, listen, we're the school committee, you guys worry about the city. But the point I always point out is the city council and the mayor, the school department, is a part of our responsibility. Not in the day-to-day operations. We can't tell them what to do and how to do it, and you don't want that. But you need to be able to be supportive of that and offer alternatives throughout the whole year. So you're having conversations about kindergarten and how much it's going to cost in December, in January. And then when you get to there, it's not such a pressure cooker as it is this past year.
Tim, we're doing this interview right at Ellis Square, and this, even though I drive by this area, this is all new to me. Tell us about this and the story behind Ellis Square.
Ellis Square, you know, has been around for many years, but obviously in the past, it's kind of deteriorated, and I do give this city credit and the Main Streets organization to try to revitalize this area right here. We're sitting here, we see, you know, the North Shore YMCA, Beverly Main Streets, Goldberg Properties, the Beverly Rotary Club. A lot of these people contributed to kind of make this park what it is right now, and it's a beautiful park. They rededicated it last week. But one of the concerns I do have, that this is also a veterans park, actually specifically for Vietnam veterans. And they had a raise, or in the process of selling T-shirts, of raising money for their own monument, for the flagpole that's going to go here. I think we owe it to the veterans in this community, in this country, to not have them out there raising money for their own monuments, and especially, you know, with the Vietnam veterans. They had a tough going when they came back here, and it's just a little soft spot with me. My father was a Navy veteran. And he was very proud of that, and I've always very, very, very proud of what the veterans do for this country. And I just think that they shouldn't be raising their own money. It's just a little small piece, but it's a very important piece. We can't forget sometimes as we move on in this country and in this city and this world that, you know, the how important the veterans are to keeping the freedom to us and making us being able to have the democracy we have, whether we agree with each other or we don't. It's a pretty special place. But when you honor people like this, the veterans are a big piece that can't be forgotten.
We're talking with Tim Flaherty, candidate for Council-at-Large, City of Beverly. Tim, anything else you want to share about your race or the issues or concerns?
Well, you know, I have a lot of concerns, you know, and I've talked about tonight. But the idea of, you know, being part of Beverly is a great community, and I'm excited to be back in. I've been knocking on doors. I spent 4 hours knocking on this past Sunday on doors, and you kind of wonder how you're going to be received. And you go, haven't done it before. And the response has been overwhelming. And we're glad you're back. Or, you know, we need someone with your experience. And I feel I do have the experience. I haven't been on the council before. And I've proven results. Haven't done a lot of great things with the city. And I always speak to my family. And I'm very proud of myself and my wife, Annie. I'm very proud of our children and how they've gone through the school system, been involved in athletics, community service, involved in the schools on a day-to-day basis, involved in the musical. It's been a great experience, and that's how I want, you know, to be involved with the city. I use my family as a great example of, I feel great about how we've raised our children and how they've been great contributors to the community. Yeah. That's what I want to do with the city of Beverly and be able to say, I have a proven track record, not only in politics, but look at my family. That's what you can tell a lot about a person.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, Tim, great talking with you. Best of luck on the campaign, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Tim Flaherty, again, Councilor-at-Large candidate for the city of Beverly. And I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO News Sports.